Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word. Genesis chapter 40. Oh, the presence of the Lord is here. Verse 1. Sometime later, the cupbearer and the baker, the king of Egypt, offended their master, the king of Egypt. Pharaoh was angry with his two officials, the chief cupbearer and the chief baker. And he put them in custody in the house of the captain of the guard, in the same prison where Joseph was confined. Captain of the guard assigned them to Joseph. I may remember who the captain of the guard is. It's Potiphar. After they'd been in custody for some time, each of the two men, the cupbearer and the baker, the king of Egypt, who were being held in prison, had a dream the same night. And each dream had a meaning of its own. When Joseph came to them the next morning, he saw they were dejected. Verse 7. So he asked Pharaoh's officials who were in custody with him in his master's house, "Why do you look so sad today? We both had dreams," they answered, "but there is no one to interpret them." Then Joseph said to them, "Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me your dreams." So the chief cupbearer told Joseph his dream and said to him, "In my dream, I saw a vine in front of me. And on the vine were three branches. As soon as it budded, it blossomed, and its clusters ripened into grapes. Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I saw the grapes and squeezed them into Pharaoh's cup and put the cup in his hand." This is what it means. Verse 12, Joseph said to him, "Three branches are 3 days. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head to restore you to your position, and you'll put Pharaoh's cup in his hand, just as you used to do when you were his cupbearer. When all goes well with you, remember me." Everybody say, "Remember me." "Remember me and show me kindness. Mention me to Pharaoh and get me out of this prison. I was forcibly carried off to the land of Hebrews. And even here, I've done nothing to deserve being put in a dungeon." And when the chief baker saw that Joseph had given a favorable interpretation, he asked Joseph, "I too had a dream. On my head were 3 baskets of bread. In the top baskets were all kinds of baked goods for Pharaoh, but the birds were eating them out of the basket on my head." "This is what it means," Joseph said. Three baskets are 3 days. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift off your head and impale your body on a pole." Nice. "And the birds will eat your flesh." Verse 20, the third day was Pharaoh's birthday, and he gave a feast for all his officials. He lifted up the heads of the chief cupbearer and the chief baker in the presence of his officials. He restored the chief cupbearer to his position, so that he once again put the cup into Pharaoh's hand. But he impaled the chief baker, just as Joseph had said to them in his interpretation. The chief cupbearer, however, did not remember Joseph and forgot him. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your presence here, and we don't take you for granted. Come on, just lift your voice for a moment. We don't take you for granted tonight. Move in ever-increasing power as you weave this tapestry of your presence and power here tonight, that we would be forever changed and impacted because your word is being preached and even demonstrated in the freedom of the Spirit. Thank you for all that you've done. Move in increasing power the remainder part of this service, however long it may be. And we give you praise. Can you give a big amen? In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. We do have notes for you and encourage you to fill those in. We're in this series, and we've been encouraging you to say, "I'm living the dream." So go ahead and try it. Say, "I am living the dream. And I do feel that way. And I know it is a theological truth that God has a dream for you. God has a plan for you. God has a hope for you. He does. He has a divine assignment. We've used that language before. Come on, say, God's got a divine assignment for me. Okay, that's his dream. He has a dream for you. You want to live the dream he has for you. A dream that he has for you is far bigger than one that you could fulfill on your own. It's going to require a team. It's going to require the anointing. It's going to require people. It's going to require resources. But where God guides, God provides, and he always brings help, and he always brings together a team. In the series, we talked about He Chose You Anyway, how Joseph came from a dysfunctional family just like you and me. We all come from dysfunctional families. Even Jesus' family was dysfunctional. Of course, not his family from heaven, but certainly his earthly one. They left a 12-year-old behind. Dreams don't die in Dothan. We talked about that. It's shocking to me how the father, Jacob, is also called Israel. He sends Joseph to check on the brothers who hate him. They hate him for a number of reasons. Joseph was immature, and he had shared dreams, and he had favor. Again, a dysfunctional family. He had this coat, this prophetic coat, a coat of many colors, a robe. It marked him as different than anybody else. He was marked. So he goes to check on the brothers and the flocks in a place called Dothan. And you can listen to all these messages, and I'd encourage you to do so. And even as we move on into all of them, read the whole story of Joseph a few times, because what will happen is you'll get twice as much out of these messages that I preach and teach to you. And so here comes the dreamer. The master dreamer is in the Hebrew. Here comes the master dreamer. It's sarcastic, and they're like, let's kill him. But they don't kill him. They throw him in a pit. Prophet in training, that's what it stands for. If you've ever felt like you've been thrown in a pit, that's prophet in training. That's what that is. Raise your hand if you've ever felt like your family threw you in a pit or a brother. And they sell him into slavery. He's sold to Potiphar, who's the captain of the guard. I made mention of that in the text that we read. He's the captain of the guard. And he's there serving, and God is with Joseph. I want you to say that. God is with Joseph. You look through the text, and it says it numerous times, and God was with Joseph, and the house of Potiphar prospered, the fields prospered, the house prospered because of Joseph, because God is with Joseph. It just says over and over and over again, God is with Joseph, and he's just got supernatural favor. I mean, it's just sunshine on a cloudy day at their house because Joseph is there. And it says in the text that Joseph was a good-looking, well-built man, says one version, well-built. And Potiphar's wife takes notice of him, and it says day after day, she attempted to seduce him. Now, what that means day after day is that literally she did everything she could in her little seduction book to try to hook the young boy to sleep with him. Somebody say, no way. Yeah. And on this one day, a day, in fact, in the Hebrew, it says in a day like that day, no one's in the house because they're probably out worshiping idols, is what rabbinic scholars say. And so Joseph is not an idol worshiper. He's a worshiper of God. So he's home. He's in the house. And she stayed back and cornered the boy and tried to have her way. Well, he runs away and she steals his coat. And the coat is used as evidence that he tried to molest her and rape her. And she screams, this Hebrew who he's brought, talking of her husband, this Hebrew who he brought, talking about Potiphar. I think they got marriage issues. What do you think? Come to make sport of me, came to make fun of me. And there's a lot of prejudice. They hated Hebrews, okay? Egyptians hated Hebrews. And there's this trial, if you will, and instead of getting death, which is what he should have gotten, if it was real, if he really did it, or really attempted to take Potiphar's wife, he would have been killed.
But Potiphar, by what scholars believe, is because Potiphar didn't kill him. And furthermore, in this text, he's still under the care of Potiphar. It talks about the prison that's connected to the house. I think maybe the house of Potiphar is connected to the captain of the guard or the prison. There's some obscurity there, but he's still under the care of Potiphar. I mean, seriously, do you think if he really believed his wife that he would still be alive? No. And not only no, he certainly wouldn't be in his care. He was in prison. But he has favor there too. God is with Joseph. And while in prison, we're right in the introduction there, see. While in prison, God's at work to turn things for good. Oh, I can't help but think about Romans 8. Romans 8, verse 26. He works all things together for the good for those that love God and call according to his purpose. It does not matter if you've been thrown in the pit or you find yourself in prison. God will work it all for good. Why? Because he has a dream for you, and if you'll keep your heart right, he didn't do it. He was innocent. The two coats, I love that. The two coats that lie, the coat of glory, the coat of the technicolor coat, the coat of favor, the prophetic coat, is torn from him, dipped in animal blood, and sent to his father as evidence that Joseph was killed by a wild animal. And now a coat is taken from him and used as evidence to lie that he tried to rape Potiphar's wife. Crazy. So he's in the prison. And he'll meet someone God will use to take him from the prison to the palace. There's these divine assignments there. There's a divine assignment everywhere in your life if you will look for it. I had a couple today. Anybody else have a couple today? They're everywhere, every day. Look for them every day. They're there. So he's in prison. God will work things for good. He'll meet someone that God will use to take him from the prison to the palace. And God releases this gift. We don't see it before this. It's mentioned here. God releases a gift through him that'll mark his life. What gift did he release? The gift of dream interpretation. We know he has the gift of dreams, but now he busts out the dream interpretation gift, which we never see before that, and that's fascinating to me. Look at the text. While in prison, Joseph meets the two officials, the cupbearer and the baker. Again, Joseph is still with Potiphar. He's in prison, and he's assigned to the care of these officials. And it's a royal prison. They're there by the king's decree. It's not just a regular prison. It's a special prison, they believe. Both officials have dreams. And I will tell you that God speaks through dreams. Somebody shared a dream with me this morning, right after morning prayer. And they asked me what it meant. I have no idea. It is the craziest thing. I have a prophetic gifting that flows through me. I'm so grateful for that. I'm a surprise to the next person when it's like accurate and crazy stuff happens. Just give God all the glory. Try to get me to interpret your dream. I have no idea. Seriously, it's a real reach for me to try to interpret someone's dream. But I know other people like Minister Ava and Pastor Vince, they got dream interpretation gifts. In fact, they've come back. They might even be online. They're just back home now, and we're so grateful. I thought we might see them tonight, but I think we'll see them for Mother's Day. We love you, Pastor Vince, Minister Ava. Amazing dream interpretation gift. You can share a dream with them, and they'll be like, oh, yeah, well, listen, and it means this, and that. And you'll feel the presence of God come. I don't have that gift. I think the Hergelot's got that gift. How many of you feel like you got a gift, dream interpretation gift? Okay. So I have dreams, though. In fact, one of the most prolific ways that God speaks to me is dreams. And as I get older, I have more of them. And that is a biblical thought also, because the old men will dream dreams. Amen. But I also have visions because I'm new. I'm not new age. I'm middle age. Careful. Middle age. I have both. I have dreams and vision. Pastor Kirsten, I see on the front row. He's a prolific dreamer too. And I don't have dreamers. I don't have dreams all the time. I have them when I need them. And let me tell you how many people I need to interpret them. No one. Because my dreams are so detailed and God so clearly talks to me and tells me specifically. How do you know? Because I've had I could count them. Maybe 10 that have saved the church, saved my family, saved my life, saved my children. 10, like significant dreams where God clearly intervened and saved our lives or saved the church. 10 of them. Giving to Real, thank God. Come on, somebody say amen. So they have these dreams. And God gives Joseph this gift of dream interpretation. I love how Joseph gives God the credit. Doesn't interpretations belong to God? Joseph gives God credit for the interpretation, and then we should always give God credit for every good and perfect gift comes down from him. Can you say amen? He interprets both the cupbearer's dream and the baker's dream, and the things happened exactly like you said. That's how you know you have an accurate gift. It happens. So I want to say, it's one thing to say that you have a gift of dream interpretation, but after you interpret it, it doesn't make any sense to anybody, and none of it ever happens. You might not have that gift. Although Joseph had asked the cupbearer to tell Pharaoh about his situation, it's such a heavy word. The cupbearer forgot. Amen. Oh, you motorheads just got touched by the Lord. I saw some hands go, oh, thank you. Ow. And all the Harley guys are irritated. Okay, God's speaking to us. How do you interpret, let me ask you this. How do you interpret the events in our lives? How do we interpret the events in our lives? I've been through some difficulty. I'm going through some challenges now. Anybody else going through some challenges? If you're endeavoring to live the dream, you're going to go through difficulty. And when you go through difficulty, how are you going to respond to that? How are you going to interpret that? How do you interpret these dreams, Joseph and all this, and now he's in a prison and everybody forgets him? I promise you, he had opportunity to get bitter. He had opportunity to get angry. He had opportunity to shake his fist at God. God, where are you? I thought the sheaves were going to bow down, and I'm in prison. We don't read any of that. And we also don't read how Joseph, he didn't argue his case. We never see Joseph said, she was hitting on the butler before I got here. She was sleeping with this other guy. You know she's a hussy. You know I didn't do it. You don't see any of that. He just takes it like a sheep is silent before the shearer. It's a picture of Jesus. Jesus didn't argue his case. It's a mature believer, which I can't say I've always been, but I'm hoping to get there and believing that I am one. Don't try to argue your case against somebody who's persecuting you when you're living righteously before God. Let the chips fall. I remember a very pointed illustration of that. My mother was working for a very high-level jewelry company. And a very wealthy, famous person came in to buy a bunch of jewelry, and it's commissions. So they came in to buy all the jewelry, but didn't want to do it right then. It was going to come back later. Well, they came back later and did it, but she was not working, except she had written it up, as I recall. And the other salesperson stole her, you know, thousands and thousands of dollars worth of commission and stole it. So when she came in and saw that the sale went out and she didn't get any of the commission, she said the Lord told her, just don't say one thing. And I remember that so vividly. And I remember what my mother said back then. She said, remember this, son, when God fixes somebody's wagon, that wagon's fixed. I thought, ooh, whoa. You know what happened? Later on, the store got robbed underneath that particular salesperson's watch, and he got pinned for the whole thing. It was just, you don't mess with God's people. And when you're accused, there's times where you should sue people. And all the attorneys said, amen. Why is that? Why should you? No, we shouldn't. We're believers. Some believers need to be sued. Why is that? So they stop messing with God's people and taking people down the road, taking them down the river in the name of the Lord. Some people need to be stopped and made an example of. Other people, you know, you need to let it go. You need to be spirit-led with all that. Some people, I'm going to sue them to get the money. Your motivation's wrong. You sue them to stop them from taking abusing other people. I think that's a beautiful thing. Can you say amen? I don't know how we got on that, but how do you view how do you view these events of your life? I think about the certain things that I've been through. I can't say that I've ever been persecuted. Once, maybe. We're so blessed in America, honestly. And if you got cut off because you have a fish on the back of your car, you know you drive dumb anyway, and that's why you got cut off. The point is, that's not real persecution. Persecution like in India, persecution in these places where it's illegal, that's real persecution. And I do think there was some, especially with the previous administration, and they've proven that they were going after conservative groups and 501c3s and churches. And I think COVID had something to do with trying to shut the church up, even if it wasn't by design from the administration. It was certainly designed by the devil. And it's setting everything up for a one-world government. How do you see events in your life? How do you see them? We can see them as setbacks. You can see them as setbacks. But I would not do that. Don't see things like, oh, now I'm in. See things as an opportunity to become more like Jesus. I should probably be in your notes. How do you see the trouble you're in right now? I mean, most of you earned it. But there's that's true. I got like one amen. Thank you. Is that Evangelist John? What's up? Joseph sold into slavery by his brothers. Rejection, abandonment. As I was typing this and praying, I'd imagine Joseph like, what the, dad, what are you thinking? You know they hated me, and you know I'm like not really mature, and you sent me off to get like crucified by these people. Why did Jacob, Israel, send his immature Joseph to the sons that hated him? What good father would do that? But it's hard to figure that one out. Come on, you can tell when your kids are fighting. How many of you know what I'm talking about? We did all kinds of crazy things with our kids when they would fight. We made them hold each other's hands. You had to stand there. They remember it. Okay, hold each other's hands. And they'd be like. And look at each other. They're like.
And they start laughing.
We didn't let strife. Don't you let strife in your house. Don't you let strife. Don't you let anger and rage and resent. Anger turns into murder if it's not dealt with. You need to deal with it. You don't allow it. We had one of our children said, I hate you, to their mother once. One time. It was the last time they ever said that. I almost said it was Hannah. My God. Lift your hands to heaven all across this place. Intercessors, pray for me. Okay. Joseph refused to compromise his moral standard. So he's not like sold, he's abandoned. Look at all the stuff that happened to him. And look what happens. Joseph is elevated. You'll see the story is absolutely amazing because it's what will happen for you if you'll respond right. I have a dream, says the Lord. He has a dream for you. I'm going to live the dream he has for me. And you're going to end up in, you're going to have obstacles. You're going to have problems. You're going to have people that don't like you. You're going to have people that want to abuse you. You'll have people that will accuse you. You'll have all kinds of things that will happen. It's warfare, yes, or spiritual warfare. It's hard to discern exactly what's being served up, but your response should not be lemon juice and bitterness. It should be improving. It should be oil. It should be anointing. It should be forgiveness. It's getting better, not bitter. He's thrown into prison for Joseph refused to compromise. This woman comes after, refused to compromise his moral standard and is rewarded by being put into prison. Right is still right, even if it costs you. Sin is still sin, even if it prospers. Right is still right, even if it costs you. Sin is still sin, even if it prospers. And it's better to have a clean conscience in a dungeon than to be at the king's table defiled. Do the right thing. I have found that this has guided me, us, for years. It was something the doctor said, Dr. Morocco. It was like the finger of God came and wrote it on my heart when he said it. Always do the right thing. Never be intimidated by anything. And always do the right thing. And if people don't like it, they can cram it. Now, I never asked for a definition of what cram it means. But if you do the right thing, you always do the right thing. Now, I've endeavored to do the right thing and not done the right thing, made a poor choice. I've done that before. But even then, God will work Romans 8:28 and he'll work it for good. But in your heart, do the right thing. Make the right decision. Go the extra mile. Obey God's word. Rather than seeing these things as a setback, we recognize that God is positioning Joseph. I mean, this is amazing. Through divine appointments to fulfill the dream, the very purpose of God. And I'm telling you right now, you might find yourself in a very difficult place, but if you'll allow God to have his work in you, it'll become a divine appointment. He could have been bitter and he could have been angry and he would have missed a dream interpretation gift and he would have missed interpreting the dream, and the cupbearer that forgot him later remembers, and he's used by God to bring him out of the prison. Some of you are still belly aching because you're in prison, spiritual prison. No, I'm being positioned by God. Anybody else? I have been positioned by God. I am in the right place at the right time. I am led and guided by the Holy Spirit. To as many as are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. I am led by God. I am going to be in the right place. We will be in the right place at the right time as we pray, as we humble ourselves before his mighty hand. We will see his plan come about. That will happen. And even though there's obstacles and challenges and trials and difficulties and Potiphar's wives and on and on and on, you will be positioned rightly if you'll keep your heart right. And that can be a challenge. You know what encourages me? Know what? Oh, well, I'll tell you. What encourages me is in the end, in the very end, when it's over, before the throne of Almighty God, you will give an account for your life, and so will every other Potiphar wife, and so will Potiphar, and so will all the brothers, and so will everybody that's come against you. And so will all the stuff that you've done. You will stand before God to give an account for it. You say, but is there judgment? Yes, there's judgment. Now, if you've received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, your sin is covered by his blood, but you'll be held to an account. You're saved by grace. Listen closely. It's not heresy, and I'm not going to stumble over my words. I'm going to say it very definitively. You're saved by grace. You're then judged by what you do with the time that you have, the gifts and the talents that you have. You'll be judged according to that. It's not a judgment unto condemnation. It's a way of God rewarding you, and then some apparently suffer loss. And I don't know how that there is. There's no more tears in heaven, but God's with Joseph, and he gives him great favor. God is with Joseph. Is God with you? God gives the gift of interpreting dreams. God's timing is not our timing. Keys. God's timing is not our timing. We must wait in faith. You know, I'm gonna be 59 apparently. That's what they tell me. I just am really glad of the phase of life I'm in. It's the bomb. Oh yeah, kids are gone. It's just me and my girl. Hallelujah. The landscape of things have changed. I've gained some wisdom, I think. I'm so glad. We were dumb. I mean, I'm still learning a lot. I'm beginning to grow up in the Lord, but I'm so glad I don't have to learn some other stuff that I think I've learned. You know how you know you learned it? You don't do it anymore. You're like, oh no. Somebody said vim and vigor is wasted on youth. If you're laughing, you're over 60, I'm sure. I'm so glad I'm not as dumb as I used to be. I'm so glad you've watched over me and you've kept me. You've walked with me. I've endeavored to walk with you and ever will. I am experiencing the most profound reality that God is with me. Everyone can have that. That's the design. That's the plan. Oh, who do you think you are? What do you mean, who do I think I am? I'm a believer. That's what the word says. I was having these encounters in the corner of my house. It's happened twice now. Oh, I'm in prayer. I feel the presence of God. And I look out the window and there's a moose. And I don't mean like 10, I don't mean like 10 yards away. I mean like 5 yards. Moose looking at me. I'm like, whoa, praise the Lord. Then there's a rabbit going by. And I hear an eagle. I look up, I'm like, my God. And then sandhill cranes are going by. I'm like, I'm going to start renaming the animals any moment now. I felt like I'm having this, I'm in Eden experience. And it was the power of God resting on me. I'm like, Lord, what's happening right now? It's a picture of communion with God. You know about that. You're outside, God's with you, shows you an animal, shows you things. How many of you know what I'm talking about? The gifts of the Spirit ought to work outside of church. If they don't work outside of church, I wonder about your gifts. Yeah. Oh, I'm going to go to the timing thing. What we're walking in right now, and I mean, I know there's no man has reached up to receive all that he has to offer. There's more in God. There's deeper and deeper places still. I know that. I know that I'm hungry and I'm thirsty. I really am. I want to know him more. I want to know the power of his resurrection. I'm thankful for the fellowship of his suffering. I'm thankful for his word. I'm so grateful. I know that there's another place. There's deeper places in God. Can you say amen? But what we're walking in right now, what's happening in the church here right now, we wanted in the first year we got here. We saw all this in prayer, and it's taken 19 years. You're like, I don't have any time. That's why you'll never have it happen for you. No, God can do miraculous things in a month, in a week. He can do anything. He can just miraculously bust in and break you out of your prison. Take the time limit off. Because God's outside of time. I heard somebody talking about eternity. And they gave a definition of what eternity is. It was the most miserable definition of eternity I've ever heard in my life. I can't tell you because you will track it back to the person who said it, and it's totally inaccurate, and I don't want to get in trouble. So, I don't want to bring a disparaging remark on anybody. You know why you cannot define what eternity is based upon what time is here? Because there is no time in eternity. It's outside of time. So you're like, eternity's like doing this and how long it would take to do that. No, you can't even define it by that because there is no time in eternity. It is forever. It's outside of time. The time-space continuum. Understanding that is, not that I do, but. Lord, is it at this time that you're going to restore the kingdom? What does he say? Book of Acts. It's not for you to know. Times and seasons. But you, and then his answer, listen to his answer. But you'll be endued with power. What does that have anything to do with time? I am in control of all that. And yet we can hasten. Hasten means to quicken. We can cause them to return quicker to the earth by the way that we live. And there's a goal of spreading the gospel of the kingdom throughout the world, and then in the end will come the gospel of the kingdom. There's unreached people groups. There's things we have to do in time before he splits the eastern sky and we rule and reign in heaven and on earth. He's outside of time, and we're impatient. You know, I'm still in prison. Maybe your attitude's lame. Just trust him. Those who wait on the Lord, the word wait, yakah, I believe it is. That might not be the right Hebrew word, but it is certainly to be braided. The Hebrew word to wait is to be braided. Anybody have braided hair here? You definitely don't. Amen. I don't have any braids. You have the perfect braid. Can you help me for just a second? Would you just stand right where you're at? Okay. You see this? Here, just turn around. Okay. You see her hair? Give me the close up on the camera here. Put it on the screen. Do you see this? That's braided. It is a beautiful picture of waiting on God. You're so braided up into him that you're not worried about it. Those who wait on the Lord will be renewed with strength. They'll mount up with the wings as eagles. Oh, even the youth, they grow weary. But those who wait on the Lord, I'm almost done. God can work through the most unlikely places and through the most unlikely people to bring about his will. Don't ever forget it. We must be assured that he's with us. Is he with you? You gonna see the dream? Ask the question, is he with you? And if he's with you, a prison will become a sanctuary. And persecution will fall in the end. And God will elevate you and use you as his special treasure. He'll fix their wagons. He'll walk in the blessing of God. Don't be so concerned about I need to set the record straight, do you? Sometimes you do. Most times, let the Lord sort out the records. He keeps really good records. And when we all stand before him, there'll be no manipulating the Son of Man in that day. Oh, that robbery that took place, that copyright that you got robbed of. Somebody here got a copyright stolen. I don't know who that is. It's for you. You had something that were like copyrighted. It was going to be very prosperous, and you got robbed. And it put a bitterness in you. Just trust God. Trust God. There's goodness in the dungeon if God's with you.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to King's Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com, and may God's face shine upon you.